Attending a training session with more than 100 other financial advisors. Suddenly, a terrific explosion rocked the room. Well, there was no apparent damage. And moments earlier, a speaker at the meeting had made a reference to heaven, so there was rather nervous laughter at the coincidence until a second explosion, this one more powerful, and this one extinguished the lights and shut down the air conditioning system. The date was February 26, 1993, on the 107th floor of the New York World Trade Center. You now know what caused those roaring blasts and the nightmare that followed. But this is the rest of the story. For Kurt Blick and his colleagues, there was only one way down from the 107th floor, the stairwell. But there were no building plans, so the group would have to start walking down those stairs and hope that they led safely down and out. As they descended, the air in the stairwell grew hotter. Somebody said, "I smell smoke." Now remember, nobody knew yet what had happened, or what may yet happen. So when the group reached the 50th floor and discovered that everything below was plunged into darkness, everybody stopped. A voice said, "I'm not going down there." There was a murmur of agreement, but Kurt Blick knew that it was the only way out, and so, despite the now visible plumes of smoke and ever-intensifying heat, Kurt elbowed his way to the front of the stalled crowd and announced, "I'm going down." And down he went. But not alone, for as he continued to descend, those nearest him could see a light. Not faint and ethereal, but mysterious nonetheless, a receding point of vibrant blue iridescence that penetrated the gloom, a sign of life. And then someone said, "I can see a light." And somebody else said, "I see it too. Let's follow it." Not "let's follow Kurt." Kurt by then had vanished into blackness. Rather, "follow the light. Follow the light." On the 12th floor, the group encountered rescue workers and firefighters. By then, the streets outside were awash in emergency vehicles and television cameras and anxious onlookers. But Kurt and his investment counselor colleagues had made it down the pitch-dark stairwell to safety. Not only because of his courage and his leadership, but because of that mysterious light. A light that accompanied him as he descended into the unknown. Mysterious to all except to Kurt. For you see, the iridescent patch of blue, that little speck of reassuring blue, which guided the others on their otherwise dark journey to safety, was part of a gift which Kurt had received from his family the previous Christmas, enabling him much as Rudolph did when he guided the sleigh through ominous fog. It was a patch of blue, a speck of blue on the hero's wrist, glowing from the liquid crystal face of his new Timex watch. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, so welcome back. You're with Darsha and Kenny. Before the break, we were talking about this op-ed piece in the Paso Robles Daily News from Jim Cogan and Joel Peterson. And this has been a long brewing battle within this state. And when you listen to people on the left and those that would support transgender ideology, they always portray it as this is overwhelming support by the community for these people. And I have no malice in my heart for transgender children, or really any of that group at all. I see the children primarily as victims.
And
I would highly recommend reading a book by an author named Abigail Schreier. And the title of the book is The War on Our Daughters. And it highlights several years worth of study. I think the book came out in 2022 or 2023. But it's backed up with lots of footnotes and documentation, primarily from Europe, and shows why Europe stopped completely in the EU and in Great Britain any surgeries or hormonal therapy for children with gender dysphoria. And that's what it is. It's gender dysphoria, and it's diagnosed in the DSM-5. But when we look at this nationwide, this is something that I, for the life of me, do not understand why this is the hill that the leftists want to die on. On January 19th, 2025, the New York Times did a poll, and the title was New York Times poll finds majority of Democrats oppose transgender athletes in women's sports. In that poll, 79% opposed the transgenders in girls' spaces and in athletics. 67% of Democrats opposed it, 94% of Republicans opposed it, and 81% of independents opposed it. That was nationwide. On April 18th, 2025, Fox News did a poll specifically in California, and it said that 65% of voters opposed boys and girls sports and in girls' spaces, and 71% of those were parents, 64% of Dems. So I don't understand why they want to die on this hill, but I'll help them. You're on the air with Darsha and Kenny.
Hi, you guys talking about the gender dysphoria stuff?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, my opinion is they're willing to die for it because in their largest of all pictures, they've been trying to destroy families, and this is the absolute best way to destroy the future of people is to destroy their ability to have children and have a fruitful and beautiful life. They don't want that. They want to destroy it. Don't know why. That's the result of where they're headed, and you see the people that are involved, and they're committed to it, which is really kind of sad.
No, I agree with you. I think it is very sad, and I don't know if you had the opportunity to read any of the manifesto from the transgender that killed the two boys and wounded 19 parishioners at the Catholic school in Minneapolis. But it was pretty dark and scary, and you could tell that he was a troubled he was troubled mentally, and when you listened and read through his notes, he celebrates Satan. He also puts in there he wishes that he never had begun the transition or the transitioning, whatever the process is called,
the hormone replacement therapy.
There's just so much that. That's going on right now that is so wrong on that side of the aisle. It's like, really? Like, you want to, like you said, this is a hill you want to die on? I mean, seriously, there's so much more to life. There's so much beauty, even in all this angst and all this stuff. And the world's a wonderful place. And I think part of the problem is there's these groups that are out there trying to really drum up their business of this, and that's really evil. They're out there on social media trying to, lionize these people. I listened to a guy in the train talking about this. He was gender dysphoric. I don't think he'd gone very far in his transition, but he's talking about it, and it's just so sad because people don't accept me for the person that I think that I am and all this stuff. And
one of my fears is more and more as this whole thing sort of unravels, I think more and more people that have been fed this lie, more and more individuals with gender dysphoria, when they're not accepted by society, I have grave concerns that more and more of them are going to lash out, and we're going to see probably more shootings at churches and schools and assassinations of people like Charlie Kirk.
Well, when you have raging hormones already, and then you have synthetic hormones that are being fed to you to try to change your gender, you have every cell in your body raging against you. I can't imagine what that would be like to.
Yeah, Chloe Cole, if you ever have the opportunity to hear her speak, she talks about the evolution of transitioning and the effect that testosterone had on her. Hey, caller, thank you.
Why celebrate so much stuff that is so wrong? Like, you know, the gangster, whole gangster thing, they celebrate that. And it's like, excuse me? Now, why are we celebrating this stuff? Why are we celebrating this? No.
And we're
all
not.
Just don't. It's not something that's worth anything. There's so much more to life. There's so much beauty in it. If you go to the least common denominator, you're going to be a very sad person and live in a pit that's not full of joy that, you know, many people can find and should be able to find if it weren't for all this stuff.
And thank you for calling in. And please, anyone, talk to anyone you know. Please. Please consider, I was just, that was actually my fault, Kenny. please consider, we have another call coming in. So please consider, all of you, the caller who just called in, please consider going to the Paso Robles school board meetings, the Atascadero, Templeton, any of the school board meetings. They really need your help, really need your support. And just to help turn this around. So we can do this, where it's an amazing community, and the KPRL listening community is tremendously informed. We'll go to the... welcome, KPRL. You're on the air.
Hi, and this is... You know where I stand, but, you know, I graduated from Long Beach Poly High School. Their football program, which they won CIF championships in 1903, and was awarded by Sports Illustrated as the best football program in the entire state, or the entire nation. And in my day, these deviant perverts would have been arrested for indecent exposure.
Well,
what has changed?
10 years ago, they would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. 12 years
indecent
ago, I guess.
Indecent exposure. And they had teachers that have been arrested and fired for indecent exposure.
Well, now we have...
Students that are doing it, and they're not doing anything about it.
Exactly. And I think... Thank you for your call. And I think, too, Kenny, what we're seeing is the fault of leadership in any organization. What is the tone at the top? And when you have leadership that is being led by their legal system, you know, their legal consultants to say, oh, take no action. We can't take action here because we might get in trouble. There might be lawsuits. There might be this. There might be that. Is that a valid position?
No. You know, again, if people want to read this op-ed against me, it talks about they're following federal law. Again, they're not following federal law. I would agree that they're following state law, but when state law is in conflict with federal law, per Title VI of the U.S. Constitution, you have the Supremacy Clause. And you have to follow federal law.
I love it when you talk Constitution.
Sorry. It's like the aphrodisiac, I guess. I'm sorry. I'm kidding, Keith. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, I have a friend of mine that's a teacher. I'm not going to name the school, but it's in Paso Robles. And I guess the start of this year, they're calling it, the little kids are calling it furries. And they identify as some kind of freaking animal, but they go around sniffing all the other kids' butts to identify them.
I've heard that story, too, and I'm...
I mean,
part of it has been... we'll say debunked, but part of it is not, and there are...
Well, a lot of it, you know, thanks for the call, sir.
We actually do have some information on that one.
Yeah, so this has been, the mysterious furries have been around for years, and I honestly didn't have too much faith in the story until I actually had a janitor that told me that the school wanted him to put litter boxes in the bathroom, and he wasn't willing to do it. And at that point, I'm like, holy smokes, there's some validity to this. But the easy way to resolve this, in my opinion, is have a decent dress code. You know, don't let kids go to school dressed in their animal costumes. Don't let kids wear their pajamas to school. Don't let, you know, the high school girls walk up in their spaghetti strap tube tops. We are not instilling standards and values. And that, again, going back to the academics issue, that's the biggest challenge we have in this district. We have no standards. You know, when we look at, I'm going to finish this up and segue into Darsha's topic for the afternoon. But when I look at this op-ed piece, there are a couple things that I want to highlight. Again, this is written by Kogan and Peterson, and it talks about, you know, crossing the line into personal attacks that target some of our most vulnerable students, being the transgenders. And their accusation is, because I misgender somebody or I refuse to acknowledge that there is something other than a male and a female, that's hate speech. Now, keep in mind, just a few months ago, 2 months ago now, you had their friend Netta Perkins, who made attacks on social media against, you know, that
right after Charlie Kirk's assassination. Right,
basically celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. They did not want to say anything about that. When we're in a society where I get condemned for hate speech because I believe that they're only boys and girls, but you can celebrate the boys. Assassination of somebody and not have anything said to you, again, this gets back to the point where I don't have shared morals with these people anymore. This is not an issue of the safety of these girls, and it's not necessarily physical safety as much as it is emotional safety. These are teenage girls. They are coming out. There's safety in numbers, ladies. The more of you that speak out, the safer you will be, because they can't refute you. And you've already had two brave young ladies. They called into the radio show a couple of weeks ago. They've spoken in front of the board, and there are more coming. Joel, you hear that? There are more coming. Joel Peterson, back in May, made the comment that, hey, girls don't have a problem with this. No, your daughter may not have a problem with it, but a lot of girls do. And we have to be cognizant of their mental safety as well.
And I think one of the solutions for the girls in the high school and the boys who have transitioning, and I use that word in air quotes, transitioning girls to boys, that they're uncomfortable as well. So I say, you know, if you're being asked or told or required to be in a place where there's someone of the opposite sex, biological opposite sex, then you have been given a place where you can go to the staff bathroom. I say have 100 girls in line at the staff bathroom, one right after another, after another, after another, after another. And that will probably end within a week, because the staff will finally realize that they want to use their own bathrooms.
Well, again, I'm not sure I agree with you based off what I'm hearing from about some of the staff and faculty over there.
Okay, but, let's see it.
You know,
that's how the masks ended.
You know, back to the basic rule of law, and this gets back to the rule of law. The U.S. Constitution, we took an oath to the U.S. Constitution. That trumps, in my opinion, any concerns over fiduciary responsibility or anything else. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. These idiots in the school district want us to be okay with all these rules where they can't protect the girls, and yet they want us to, you know, to give them more money and by way of a school bond.
It's just $220 million. It's just another $500 or $600 on most people's tax bills. No, there is no responsibility. The responsibility is ultimately has to come from the voters. And I will tell you right now, having sat through the special board meeting on Saturday, that bond measure is going to be presented to the board in March, and they don't have a list of projects yet.
They just know they need it?
They just know they need it. And they it was a public board meeting, so I can say this, but they're going to put the kids out there and talk about how this is for the kids and this is what the kids want. You had Jim Cogan, who kept saying about Measure M, promises made, promises kept over the aquatics complex. I still see the aquatics complex as having been a betrayal, personally, in my opinion, to Measure M, because you shut down a school in order to have the funds from Measure M to build that pool. You look at the closing of that school and the impact on academic performance, I think it was a betrayal of what was advertised, personally.
And is that something that you voted for?
No, I did not. As a matter of fact, I was under the impression that the people that wanted the pool was supposed to get more donations than what we actually are going to fund. We were only going to fund $5 million for that pool. The rest of the money was supposed to have been raised, fundraised.
Yeah, I think the final...
And yet we paid for it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I think the final bill for the aquatics complex, which is supposed to open, I believe, in December, the final bill is going to be about $22 million, and it was initially advertised as being about five. You're correct, and most of that was supposed to be funded by donations. And I have no idea, honestly. There were several hundred thousand dollars in donations that were made, and I am afraid I do not know where they are.
Well, in addition to that, and thank you for your call. In addition to that, Kenny, is not just the initial cost of construction and getting everything in place, but then you have the annual maintenance. That's in addition to that.
Right. And that's right now, the estimates are that's going to be about $400,000 to $500,000 a year, that range. And the way I look at this, that's four or five teachers. When it was evident that we were going to have to build the pool, yeah, I swallowed hard and said, okay, but we need to partner with somebody else to cover the maintenance and operation costs. All right, we'll be back right after the break.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks losing steam in the final hour of trading, with the major averages ending mixed for the day and for the week. The Dow fell sharply for a second straight session. However, tech stocks gained and boosted the tech-heavy NASDAQ. Healthcare and financials were among the laggards weighing on the Dow, and Bitcoin continues to slump, with the world's biggest cryptocurrency hovering around $95,000 a token. And the reopened federal government will release the first backlog monthly jobs report for the month of September on Thursday, November the 20th. Shares of Eli Lilly rose over 0.25%, pushing the drug maker closer to the $1 trillion market capitalization milestone. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Salesforce. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, United Health, and American Express. The Dow falling 310 points, the NASDAQ higher by 30, S&P 500 down 3. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Not sure what to get him this holiday? You can't go wrong with a gift from Untuckit. Every guy wants to unwrap our best-selling wrinkle-free and performance styles. From polished shirts for holiday parties to cozy layers for family photos, you'll find everything he needs to look sharp and feel comfortable all day and night. So, get a head start on your holiday gift list. Early holiday sale happening now. Find the perfect gift for everyone on your list at Untuckit.com and more than 80 stores worldwide. Untuckit. Shirts designed to be worn. Untucked.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL, brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer, where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. That crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
All right, we're back, and we're going to transition over here shortly so Darsha can take it with Prop 50 and some of the other issues that we're having. But, you know, finishing up on the school board in this letter from Kogan and Peterson, it highlights really a problem that the state of California has right now. And it says, Paso Robles Joint Unified follows California state law regarding transgender students, including participation in athletics and access to facilities. Well, that's the problem. Again, you have this thing that's called the United States Constitution. And whether you're Jim Kogan, Joel Peterson, or Nancy Pelosi, who thanks be will not be representing San Francisco much longer, although I hear Wiener is probably going to win and he makes her look like a moderate. But when you have school boards or elected federal representatives or state governors that blatantly want to defy the U.S. Constitution, there's an issue. That's a violation of Title 6. You know, this was a quote from Pelosi about a week ago, and it resulted in warnings from the U.S. attorney, but it said because he's talking about Trump, because he's the president of the United States and he does not honor the Constitution of the United States. In fact, he's turned the Supreme Court into a rogue court. Now, that comment, Darsha, in my opinion, you are openly minimizing or diminishing the stand of the U.S. Constitution, which is the highest court in the land. And again, this is why I think the left is so scared right now. Because you have Trump, you have a conservative court, or at least a more constitutional court. You would debate that with me probably, but a more constitutional court than recently. And you have a Congress that are all leaning in the same direction. For the first time, I would say probably since the 1930s and FDR, have you had one party in complete control or pretty close to having control and being able to make substantive change to a system. And that's what they're afraid of. And the caller that talked about why do they want to die on this hill, I agree with them. It's part of this is to completely destroy
the family unit
and really what Western civilization in the United States have stood for. You break it down. And classic Marxist strategy, you break it down and you build it back the way you want.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, it's rich coming from her, pun intended, rich coming from her that she's speaking
this way. What did she get, like 17,000% return or something like that? She should start a mutual fund.
Should we put her head of the department of the...
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so... Nancy Pelosi, the same one that tore up the State of the Union speech in front of millions of Americans. This is called insurrection.
Yeah.
For someone who so adamantly defined January 6th as an insurrection, a lot is coming out after the last, especially in the last year, but maybe even in the last 6 months, where there were over 200 some federal agents that participated in some of the, quote, aggression, and that they were Trump supporters, but they were dressed up like Trump supporters. And they're so adamant about calling January 6, 2021, an insurrection because they wanted to make sure that there was that all of the protocols of having the election be in question, the November 2020 election in question, she wanted to make sure that that was an explanation, an excuse for having the November 20 election never be questioned, that there was an insurrection that occurred. Therefore, they didn't have to read into the record that President Trump had declared that there were issues with the electors coming forward, that they were saying, hey, we want to take the pause. We want to take 10 days so that we can go back and look at these claims of fraud, claims of abuse, claims of whatever it might have been with the November 2020 election. There were definitely concerns, questions, and he had asked to have that be read into the record. It was never read into the record, and that was Nancy Pelosi that was required to do that. And because of the, quote, insurrection that occurred there, she did not read that into the record. And so now here we are, where she is actually participating in the insurrection. And the question is, has President Trump signed the Insurrection Act? The Insurrection Act could lead to some pretty...
See, this is where you and I differ, because...
I don't know whether he has or has not.
Having been deployed under the Insurrection Act before, they are case-specific deployments. So for me, it was in May 1992 when you had the Rodney King riots, and I was part of the Marine unit that was deployed. The Insurrection Act was implemented by George H.W., and we wound up sending, I think it was 1st Battalion, 9th Marines in, and I was part of the combat service support element. But the Insurrection Act is not a nationwide
Here we have act. California State Prop 50. So Proposition 50, redistricting, even reading into the actual ballot itself, the question itself, says that it was a bipartisan, that it was a partisan response to Texas's redistricting. And as we've talked on the air in past, it was based on a decision of several court, case.
Fifth Circuit had the case, and that's in the
But Gulf. It was combined 10 or 11 different cases, and it was based on racial discrimination. So now, just yesterday, the California GOP and GOP has said that the Prop 50, California redistricting, was not legal, that it was unconstitutional, and now the DOJ has gotten into that case, and along with the GOP, saying that this is based on racial districting lines, which is unconstitutional.
Yeah, so the GOP, the California GOP, I forgot the other people in the case, they filed their case on, when was the election, the 5th?
November 4th.
So they filed their case on the 5th. And part of their argument was that the redistricting violated the Voter Rights Act, because there were comments made and part of the design of the map, as alleged by the GOP, part of the design was to establish a Latino congressional district within the state of California. So that act in and of itself, per the GOP, was a violation of the Voter Rights Act and the 14th and 15th Amendment. And ironically, that's the same thing that Texas had done, which started this whole redistricting war in the nation to begin with. I always found that funny. But yesterday, Bill Asaley in the Department of Justice joined on, saying that the Prop 50 map is unconstitutional.
And San Luis Obispo County is one of the counties, the central district. So Bill Asaley's office out of the, so that's considered the central district of California for the U.S. Attorney's Office. So I think that's San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Ventura, Los Angeles.
No idea.
Yes. anyway.
I believe you.
That area. So Bill Assaley's office has had several different lawsuits that have been directed toward elections. And as they say, elections have consequences. And I say selections have even more consequences. So turning to somewhat locally here, wanted to give you an update as to where we stand as a county with Proposition 50. And as of November 12th, which is Wednesday, we had an updated count. They're supposed to have another updated count. The county clerk recorder's office has said that they will have another updated count by 5 o'clock p.m. today. We just looked just before the show and hadn't seen that there was an update. I don't know that there has been an update. But as of November 12th, we had 101,337 ballots counted. That is 55.62% of the 182,200 that we have registered, active registered voters in this county.
Okay, I still have the numbers that we talked about last week.
So we're I know you
who,
do.
See who was correct.
So we're getting closer. We're now at the yes voters in this county. If you use these numbers, are at 55.78%.
Okay, and you said that we both agreed that there would be roughly 60% turnout in the county.
I think it will be 65%. I was trying to do the math in my head, 60. But it was 66.67%.
So are you amending your previous?
I am. I think it'll be
65%. You can't change it as the numbers change, though. You get one opportunity to change. So that's it.
I follow elections very closely, Kenny. I know how to change percentages. I know how it works. No, what I was trying to do in my head, and usually I can do that without a 10 key. I know I'm an accountant, but two-thirds, it's closer to two-thirds. So where we'll end up, they still have
all right, so you're saying 20,000
ballots to count.
Okay.
Now, would you like to know where we stand as far as counties in the state, as far as how many ballots still
yes,
to count?
Yes, ma'am, please.
We are the third slowest county in the state to produce our election results. That would be behind Fresno County that has 29,860 and San Francisco County that has 27,500 still to count. We are at 20,130. That is fully 10% of the remaining estimated total ballots to be counted.
Do you think we'll bring up the tail again like we did in 2024?
That has been what I have said every time, even though we have the fastest ballot counting machine out there.
We were the last county in the country.
So, folks, here's what we have. I'm getting questions from people saying, why am I getting the text message from Ballot Tracks that says my ballot has just now been counted? I voted in person on election day. And I say, okay, let's talk about in-person voting. Most of the KPRL listeners know that I have been saying, if you want the most secure way, we have a captured system here, the most secure way you can vote in our county is to go to the precinct and get a precinct ballot. That is not using your vote-by-mail ballot and your return envelope. That is exchanging, surrendering, swapping, or not providing your vote-by-mail ballot, but instead getting the precinct ballot at your correct precinct, signing the voter roster. That is the in-person voting. So those ballots get counted. I'm down there at the county clerk recorders watching them being scanned and run through the tabulators. Those are the only votes counted on election day. They're counted into the evening after polls close, and they all get collected and driven down with a sheriff's escort to the county clerk recorder's office. Unfortunately, we have about 4,537 people who did that. Many, as they walked into their precinct, were redirected to the vote by mail drop-off box saying, hey, thanks for voting. Could you can just drop off your vote by mail ballot right here. It's so easy. You can just drop it off. Thanks for voting. And it infuriates me because people think that going to their polls and dropping off that vote by mail, that return envelope with a signature on the outside, it may be so easy right then and there, but it takes 7 to 10 days to process that ballot. And here we are, where we still have 20,000 ballots to process. Those are the ballots that were dropped off at the precinct with a vote-by-mail ballot.
Hopefully we'll have answers by Christmas.
We will have answers by December 5th when she has to certify.
All right, we'll be back in a minute.
The break.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Do you want to power your family with fresh, nutritious local meats? I'm Susanna Luthy Taylor, host of KPRL's Free Talk California. My husband Garrett is a 6th-gen Cambria cattle rancher, and we offer grass-fed beef, both wholesale and USDA packaged. And we are proud to announce our fresh local bison is available for pre-sale now at a discount. Order now at TaylorRanch1868.com. We deliver locally. Support the food world that you want to live in at TaylorRanch1868.com.
This Thanksgiving, celebrate with Allegretto, surrounded by beauty, flavor, and the joy of gathering together. Join Allegretto Vineyard Resort Thursday, November 27th for an elevated Thanksgiving buffet filled with chef-inspired dishes, citrus-braised salmon, prime rib, to roasted turkey with sage gravy. Savor every bite, sip house-selected wines, and let Allegretto take care of the rest. Reservations required. Allegretto Vineyard Resort or call 805-369-2503.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
This is Sunny from the Floral Parlor. Have you ever wondered why memorial flowers are chosen from a book? It seems so impersonal. Your loved one was one of a kind. Their celebration of life should be just as unique. Whether they were a rugged cowboy or a sweet grandma who loved tulips, we take the time to learn about their life and create floral designs that tell their story. Let the Floral Parlor create something special within your budget that adds value to their remembrance. The Floral Parlor in downtown Paso Robles.
I think I heard you coming.
Okay, we're back. We're discussing our bet because I get the sense that Darsha's welching on it. So let's go over the numbers again right now. Darsha says that turnout from the special election is going to be 65% total turnout, 55% Dem participation, 60% GOP participation, correct?
That I think I will stand by.
Okay. And I am saying 60% total turnout with 60% Dem. I'll give 55%. But I think my bottom line is I think the GOP voter turnout is going to be lower.
Well, Kenny, let's talk voter rolls. Let's talk ballots. Let's talk the chain of custody in the election system. So,
all right.
You know, I have major issues with our entire elections process. And I witnessed things yesterday at the 1% manual tally. It's not that there are certain audit procedures as a CPA that you learn, okay, how can we best assure ourselves that the data that we're receiving is accurate, complete? There's different steps that go into that. So yesterday at the county clerk recorder's office is the 1% manual tally. The problem is in the election, in the California elections code, this 1% hand count is supposed to be verification that the machine count is accurate. And my issue with that is that it makes it seem like 1% of all the ballots cast have had some kind of scrutiny. That is not the case. It is only 1% of the ballots that have been counted by election day. So those ballots that are counted starting the day after the election all the way through the end, all of the provisional ballots, all of the overseas, the faxed in ballots, all of those, there's zero eyes on those ballots in comparison to the numbers that are counted.
Is there an election manual? There's election code.
Yes, there's election code.
Does it define the purpose of the 1%?
It does, and it's a audit step to verify that the machine counting is accurate, which I have other issues with that.
How is it supposed to determine if the machine
the ghost in the machine, so to speak? But it's supposed to give a random sample of the ballots, and so they select precinct ballots. And I don't have any issue with the county or even the county clerk recorder. She's following the elections code. I'm just saying, if you really wanted to have transparency, or if you really wanted to have accuracy with the numbers and to have assurance that those numbers are not being misstated or materially misstated, as we use in financial statements, then you follow certain procedures. And I'm just saying that it is misleading, because you have 1%, it's only 1% of 80,000 ballots, not 1% of 120,000 ballots. And even though everything is observable, we aren't able to compare the results of the machine count with 1% of the ballots. So it's 1% is 1%, and it's not 1%.
Do you know what the criteria are for the random sampling? I'm assuming it's a random sampling.
So they have a random sample generator, and you have the batch numbers. So precincts are selected randomly. So they selected three different precincts, I think. And then the batches that have all the different precincts intermixed as they come in and are opened and verified and all of that. So then there were another four batches that were the vote by mail ballots that were selected. And to watch the hand counting process, it's a bit insidious. It's very hard to watch, because we just had the new California state election, which is voter ID, proof of residency, same day, one paper ballot, one person voting, and it's counted at the precinct, and it takes minutes.
Okay, but how many ballots?
Minutes.
How many ballots were cast?
It doesn't
matter. It does. New California vote and you have 100 people vote.
Some of the precincts had 100 people vote. And statewide, the point is that there were 52 counties represented. That can be a precinct.
Why only 51 or 52?
1,000. That's what was represented as far as people coming in to vote from the different. It was a statewide election. And I know you're not a new California state. The purpose is to show that you can have a precinct with 1,000 people in it, and you can have results in hours, and it is accurate, it is easy, it is simple. It is adding up columns. The way they do the hand count at the county, I'm telling you, it's insidious. You can hardly watch it. And then they say, well, errors are made, and you know, it takes longer. We would need thousands and thousands and thousands of hours to be able to hand count these ballots. Well, it takes thousands of hours to have people there signature matching, opening, laying flat, no food stains. Okay, these can go through the machine. We have a machine that can count three times faster than the old machines. But it's still that in processing time, that is 7 to 10 days. I stand by that number, 7 to 10 days, 7 to 10 people have to touch that return envelope.
All right. So right now, there are no states in the union, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but there are no states in the union that do hand
that
counting,
is correct.
Correct.
And AB 969 back a couple years ago, AB 969 was passed in California under the emergency provisions that we must have an electronic voting machine system in order to get rid of an electronic voting machine system in our counties.
And
in
what
California.
Was there was one county that passed a
Shasta
passed the county passed a law saying that they wanted to do ballots, hand ballots, and then the state legislature overruled them.
So why is it that you have Alpine County that has 960, I mean, it varies between 940, 960 registered voters. Why is it that Alpine County has to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay their electronic voting machine system? They have 940 or 960 registered voters, roughly 700 ballots to count.
Yeah, so I'm looking at... countries that don't allow voting. Japan, they have paper ballots. The Netherlands, Australia doesn't.
There was a huge Smartmatic was in the Philippines, and that was a huge scandal because there were alleged bribery that became actual bribery. I believe that the cases were proven, and they threw the machines out of the Philippines.
Yeah.
I mean, it
that.
Was.
So Italy doesn't, Japan doesn't. France allows it only for citizens abroad. Norway doesn't.
I think it's 29.
Spain doesn't. Sweden doesn't. So. Venezuela does. That's right. And it started in 1998, which was the year Chavez took over. So,
I'm laughing because Kenny and I keep talking about the Venezuelan connection with the Smartmatic that then became Sequoia, Diebold, then Sequoia, then Dominion systems that we have today. So it's the same software and the programs.
Yeah, I have a particular interest in Venezuela because when I was a military advisor in Eastern Colombia in the Guaviare department, we routinely received intel that the Venezuelan military, this is after Chavez, that the Venezuelan military was helping the FARC, the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia. And interestingly enough, the Petro, who's the president of Colombia now, he was a member of the M19 terrorist group, which was a Marxist group back in the 80s that detonated a bomb, killed their Supreme Court. I think it was in the 80s. He did a little bit of jail time, but now he's freaking running the country. I mean, the country has just done a complete 180 since I was down there. Pablo Uribe was the president, and he was, you know, U.S.-trained economist, member of the Liberal Party, but, you know, was one of the most capitalistically minded people down in South America at the time. So
Venezuela was a beautiful country. Rich
had a higher
in resources.
Standard, yeah, had a higher standard of living in the United States.
And all it takes is an electronic voting machine system that can flip, that can manipulate, and can alter votes. And I still stand by that Venezuela was one of the first ones that's exactly what happened to their country. It started in the early 2000s.
Fourth generation warfare. That will be the topic for next week. So, all right.
We'll have more
Darcia,
results for you next week, and we'll update you local Prop 50.
And I'll hold her to her numbers.
All right. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank
have
you.
A great
have a great
day.
Week. The
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.